This post critiques David Robson's New Scientist essay, How to Harness Your Emotions for a Happier, Calmer Life. Robson draws on the research of Ethan Cross and others and presents a comprehensive overview of strategies for enhancing emotional regulation, the ability to monitor, evaluate, and modify emotional reactions in real time. This skill is linked to improved physical health, psychological resilience, and social functioning. The essay emphasizes that emotions are malleable, not fixed traits, and highlights that believing in their changeability predicts greater well-being and adaptive coping. His foundational evidence comes from longitudinal studies, notably the Dunedin Multidisciplinary Health and Development Study, which revealed that poor emotional regulation in early childhood predicts worse life outcomes, including lower educational attainment, increased criminality, financial instability, and accelerated biological aging. This supports the idea that emotional skills play a critical role not just in mental health, but in broader life trajectories. Emotional self-regulation strategies. Robson endorsed these strategies. Cognitive reappraisal, the reinterpretation of an emotional stimulus to alter its emotional impact. Self-distancing, viewing one's experience from a third-person perspective to reduce emotional reactivity. Sensory strategies, using music, nature exposure, or comforting routines, e.g., baking, bathing, to shift mood states. Environmental modifications, leveraging nature or even nature imagery to reduce rumination. Belief change, encouraging the implicit theory that emotions are changeable, increases the use of adaptive strategies like reappraisal. The essay also defends contextual avoidance, deliberate temporary emotional suppression, as a potentially beneficial short-term coping mechanism, especially during acute stress or bereavement. Importantly, emotional avoidance is not equated with repression, but with adaptive compartmentalization. A mindfulness critique. Mindfulness emphasizes non-judgmental awareness and acceptance of emotional states rather than altering, avoiding, or distancing from them. There are no negative emotions. Robson invites readers to view certain feelings, like anger or envy, as bad or negative states that must be managed. This framing clashes with a fundamental principle of mindfulness, non-judgmental observation of one's present moment experience. In mindfulness-based teachings, every emotion is approached without labeling it good or bad. As Jon Kabat-Zinn famously defines, mindfulness means paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. Embrace emotional experience. The advocacy of emotional avoidance, even if temporary, contradicts the consensus in mindfulness-based interventions, where avoidance is viewed as a risk factor for exacerbating distress. Hayes et al., 2006. Observe emotions. Don't reframe or suppress them. Self-distancing and third-person self-talk, though empirically validated, may resemble cognitive diffusion, but differ in intent. Mindfulness aims to observe emotions, not cognitively reframe or suppress them. Cognitive reappraisal, while effective, involves top-down control, whereas mindfulness fosters bottom-up awareness of emotion without immediate reinterpretation. Chambers et al., 2009. Consensus science. Robson's perspective is not fully supported by consensus science. Emotional avoidance. People who turned their thoughts away from their grief and actively avoided reminders reported less negative emotion in the long term. I think this notion that avoidance is always harmful is, in and of itself, a harmful notion, he says. The claim that emotional avoidance can lead to long-term improvements in grief outcomes lacks robust generalizability. Most bereavement research supports meaning-making and emotional processing as central to healthy adjustment, Bonanno and Kaltman, 2001. Pushing emotions around. Science has identified dozens of tools that can push our emotions around. Dozens of tools. The notion that we have dozens of tools may mislead readers to believe these strategies are equally effective. When research shows that context sensitivity, personality traits, and neurocognitive profiles moderate effectiveness, Aldeo et al., 2010. Don't try to control the uncontrollable. Kazan, 2019, cautions that we cannot control thoughts, e.g., don't think about a white bear, or emotions, e.g., anxiety, although people believe that they should. distraction and suppression tactics do not work in the long run, can increase unwanted thoughts and emotions, and this failure can reduce perceived self-efficacy. Moreover, these futile attempts deplete the glucose needed to fuel adaptive responses. You use up glucose on tasks that are not under your control, namely, suppressing your difficult thoughts and emotions, and then you do not have adequate resources left to exercise control over tasks that are otherwise controllable. Your actions in response to these difficult thoughts and feelings. Kazan, 2019, page 137. Kazan, 2019, likens struggling with uncontrollable thoughts and feelings to thrashing in quicksand. Instead of flailing and sinking deeper into several feet of water, you can lie flat and paddle to safety. Graphic copyright Corey Thoman /dreamstime.com. The ability to control emotions in the moment is a complex process that is not fully under conscious control. Real-time emotional control is often limited by the speed and unpredictability of emotional responses, making it difficult to exert control instantaneously, especially under time pressure or rapidly changing circumstances. Cohn et al., 2014. Furthermore, while cognitive control mechanisms can influence emotional responses, these systems are not always immediately accessible or effective in the heat of the moment, as emotional and cognitive control systems overlap, but are not perfectly synchronized. Ford et al., 2018. Anyone can learn emotional regulation. After accepting that emotions are within our control, anyone can learn to apply cognitive reappraisal, along with many other strategies to cope with negative feelings and boost positive ones. While promoting a growth mindset is empirically supported, Tamir et al., 2007, the implication that anyone can learn emotional regulation presumes a level of cognitive flexibility and insight that all individuals may not share. This generalization fails to account for developmental, clinical, and cultural constraints on emotional modulation, Kring and Sloan, 2009. Summary. David Robson's essay, How to Harness Your Emotions for a Happier, Calmer Life, draws on psychological research to present a toolkit for emotion regulation, emphasizing strategies like cognitive reappraisal, self-distancing, sensory modulation, and belief in emotional malleability. He argues that emotions are more elastic than traditionally assumed and can be reshaped for better mental and physical health outcomes. While the essay draws on empirical research and offers helpful strategies for many readers, it often frames emotions in evaluative terms such as bad or negative, which runs counter to the foundational principle of non-judgmental awareness central to mindfulness-based approaches. Moreover, the essay occasionally overgeneralizes its claims. It suggests that avoidance may yield long-term benefits in grief, that anyone can master their emotional life through experimentation, and that a wide array of strategies are equally effective. These assertions, while rhetorically engaging, lack consistent empirical backing and ignore individual differences in psychopathology, cultural context, and neurocognitive variability. A mindfulness-informed framework would caution against such judgments and instead emphasize open, non-evaluative awareness of emotional states as they arise, without categorizing them as problematic or requiring immediate modification. Key takeaways. 1. Labeling emotions as negative contradicts mindfulness principles by introducing judgment, which fosters resistance and intensifies suffering. Mindfulness teaches open observation without categorization. 2. Claims about emotional avoidance leading to long-term relief in grief lack broad empirical support. The literature emphasizes emotional engagement and meaning-making for resilient bereavement outcomes. 3. Statements implying universal emotional mastery overlook neurodevelopmental, clinical, and cultural variability and may set unrealistic expectations for individuals with limited cognitive flexibility or access to therapeutic tools. 4. Not all emotion regulation strategies are equally effective. Their impact depends on context, personality traits, emotional intensity, and the presence of psychological disorders. 5. Mindfulness offers an alternative framework grounded in acceptance, present moment awareness, and non-reactivity, prioritizing the relationship with emotions over attempts to control them.